Spring into reading this season with the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Spring Reading Guide. In this season's guide, I've handpicked 21 of the best new books and I've organized them across 6 categories. So whether you're looking for a romance novel that will give you a happily ever after, a thrilling mystery to keep you guessing, or an immersive historical fiction book, this guide has a book or 3 or 7 just for you. Now, if 21 books sounds like too much for you, there's a minimalist reads list in the guide, which includes a list of 6 must-read books from across genres. But wait, that's not all. The Spring Reading Guide also includes fun recipes, spring activities, and lifestyle tips. So head on over to springreadingguide.com and download your copy of the guide. That's springreadingguide.com and download your free copy of the 2024 Spring Reading Guide. So download your free copy and discover your next favorite book. Happy reading! Hello, I'm Victoria from Biblio Lifestyle, and you're listening to the Reader's Couch podcast, the show that will help you bridge the gap between living a full and busy life to one where you're reading, learning new things, and having fun. In today's episode, I'm so excited to share 3 classic novels to add to your reading list this spring. So if you're interested in learning about 3 books that are better read in spring, or if you just want to add some classic novels to your reading list this season, then this episode is just for you. So stay tuned. Hi friends, welcome again to The Reader's Couch. I'm your host, Victoria Wood, and today I'm super excited to talk about 3 books that are better read in spring. So if you're looking to add some classic novels to your reading list, then this episode is just for you. Now, I'm super excited that spring is here. It really is a time of rebirth, renewal, and a perfect opportunity to reset. So I am definitely taking advantage of this time of year. I love a good reset. I love a good recentering. I love to get intentional about what I'm doing in my life, what I'm reading, what I'm eating, the activities I'm doing. I really go all in each season, and spring is no different, but I do have an extra pep in my step during the springtime. So I'm really excited about that. And by the way, if you're interested in seasonal living and maybe trying that out, I have an episode where I talk more about seasonal living. So again, if that's of interest, I'll include a link in the show notes. So after listening to this one, you can listen to that episode as well. So in that episode, it's more lifestyle. And in this episode, I'm giving you book recommendations. So without further ado, let's get into the books. Okay, so the first book I'm recommending that you read this spring is A Room with a View by E.M. Forster. E.M. Forster's A Room with a View is a compelling novel set in the early 20th century that explores the themes of class, societal expectations, and personal freedom. Now, this novel is set both in Italy and England, and it tells the story of Lucy Honeychurch, a young English woman navigating the constraints of Edwardian society. The story begins with Lucy's encounter with George Emerson, a man in Florence, Italy. This meeting sparks a deep, although a tad bit suppressed, emotional connection. She finds that George is extremely passionate, and he's for sure a free-thinking man. However, Lucy is engaged to a man back in England. His name is Cecil Wise. And in contrast to George, Cecil is more of a predictable, conservative, and kind of stuffy kind of man. So we see Lucy facing a choice between two vastly different men, and Forster, I feel, masterfully uses this opportunity to contrast the stifling norms of English society with the more liberating backdrop of the Italian landscape. So this becomes, I feel, a novel of authenticity, emotional honesty, and just whether one should adhere to societal standards and conform to that, or if one should follow the desires of their hearts. So through Lucy's internal struggle, we see her choice to, you know, pursue a life with a particular person. I'm not going to say who because I don't want to spoil it. So anyway, I think what makes A Room with a View stand out is that Forster uses irony and satire to kind of critique the social classes and the rigid distinctions and gender roles of that time. And I also enjoyed his vivid descriptions of Florence and the English countryside. But I also get what I love most in novels is just great character development. So we really get deep insights into each of the characters. And I think that really helps to just make it incredibly rich and a very textured read. So through Lucy's journey, we see Forster champion the importance of, again, following one's heart despite the pressure of society. And I think even though, you know, this is going way back when, I still think that's a theme that resonates today. So I truly believe that A Room with a View is really worth the read because it gives readers opportunity to immerse themselves in timeless themes such as love, freedom, the quest for personal identity. Plus, this novel has beautiful writing. So you're going to get the elegant prose. You're going to get the sharp commentary. You're going to get the wit. You're going to get great observation. It really is a novel of human nature. So I think this is an essential read for anyone who values coming of age, self-discovery, but more importantly, the courage it truly takes to live authentically. So the reason I think this is a good springtime read now is because of the vivid landscapes in this book and the transformational journey. So in the same way spring symbolizes rebirth and new beginnings, I think this novel will inspire readers to consider their own rebirths through their own personal growth and how they show up authentically as themselves. Plus, of course, the descriptions of the Italian countryside, I think, provides a perfect backdrop for spring. So anyway, I think I've rambled on enough. I hope you'll give A Room with a View by E.M. Forster a read this spring. Okay, book two on my list of classic novels to read this spring is The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. The Secret Garden is a timeless novel that tells the story of Mary Lennox, a young orphaned girl sent to live with her uncle in a very large but seemingly lifeless mansion located on the Yorkshire Moors. When Mary arrives, she's initially sullen and lonely, but while there, she discovers a locked, neglected garden. Now, through Mary's persistence, she not only unlocks the garden, but she awakens a deeper sense of life, meaning, friendship, and healing for herself. Because we see, with the help of her new friends, including a boy named Dickon and her sickly cousin, Colin, whom she helps to revive in health and spirit, we see Mary dedicate herself to bringing the garden back to life. So essentially, we see how the transformation of the garden parallels the emotional and physical rehabilitation of the characters. So you'll see a novel of rejuvenation and the healing power of nature. Now, I have to tell you, I have been a fan of The Secret Garden my entire life. I remember reading it for the first time as a really, really young girl, And the fact that I grew up with my grandparents and my parents, but my grandmother had a beautiful, beautiful garden. I'm telling you, it was the envy of folks in our town. People would come just to look at the flowers, walk around, and she was okay with it, by the way. She'd also sell flowers at the flower shop, so I guess that was her side hustle before side hustle was a thing, because she had a full-on career. But when I was little and growing up, my grandmother was, well, first she was semi-retired, then full-blown retired. So I would see her tending to the garden at all times. She also had a greenhouse, and she had one section that was in kind of like the side to the back part of her house. And it was kind of very dark back there and a bit damp, if I'm being quite honest. But she would always lock it, like a proper lock with a padlock, because all dogs could open the gate, you know, like with their nose and stuff like that. So anyway, she would lock it proper just so they wouldn't run through there and just create havoc. But anyway, when I was little and I read The Secret Garden for the first time, I was imagining that that was the secret garden, and I had my own little plots and my own little things that I was planting, and I would have them on the shelves because that greenhouse had shelves. And I was thinking, I was that girl Mary, and I'm going to transform this section of the greenhouse. But little did I know that only certain flowers and plants did well there, because that side of the greenhouse was the dark and damp side. And then we had a different side that got more sunlight, and, you know, all the different things. But my imagination ran wild there. And though I wasn't like as grumpy as the girl Mary, or as sickly as one of the characters, or troublesome as another, I was just convinced that was a secret garden, and I am going to bring this space to life. So I've been a fan of The Secret Garden, it's fair to say, my entire life. Now, what I think makes The Secret Garden truly special is the themes in the novel. So it explores themes such as the redemptive power of nature. And I can say, especially as an adult with my own family now, I retreat to nature when I need a reset and when I need to feel rejuvenated. Like, honestly, sometimes just going outside and walking in the park does me wonders. Sometimes hugging a tree does me wonders. Sticking my hand in the dirt and getting into my gardening does me wonders. So, so the theme of the redemptive power of nature is a big one. There's also the theme of nurturing and care, and just the importance of doing that. And also the profound effect, and I should say the profound impact of positive thinking. So we see Burnett show just the portrayal of the garden and its transformation from a neglected wild place to a blossoming paradise, right? And that I found captivating to me even as a child and even today as an adult. And it symbolized for me just hope and the ability to grow and thrive and bloom despite adversity. And of course, you know, with a little tender, loving care. We also see in the book that each of the characters are uniquely flawed in different ways, but they're also likable. And it helps to make their journeys of personal growth also relatable and inspiring. I think another element of The Secret Garden is its critique of the rigid social norms of the Edwardian era, especially as it related to people who are ill and have different sicknesses, and folks who are differently abled and who have different unique abilities. It really shows how backwards. I mean, I know it's obvious because it was set a long ago, but just how unaware they were and how they would treat people who were differently abled. So anyways, I think The Secret Garden is especially better read in spring because it's just suited to the season. I mean, the season mirrors what the novel is talking about, right? So themes of rebirth, renewal, transformation. I mean, there were even, again, a garden, you know, planting and growing a garden. And we tend to do that during springtime. Also, just spring with its explosion of life and color. I think it really complemented the story's focus on just the rejuvenating power of nature, because we see plants and animals and things coming to life during the spring. So I think as readers, as we witness just the lifeless garden and how it blooms into this beautiful haven, I think we too can draw parallels to the natural awakening that occurs in the world during springtime. And I think reading this book during spring will enhance your reading experience, because it really highlights the enduring power of nature's beauty. But again, it's just a really inspiring read that goes along with the hopeful nature of spring. So anyway, I do think this is a book that transcends age. So even if you're little and you're reading it with your littles, but even as adults, I really think it transcends age. It also transcends time. And I think it can provide a comforting retreat into this magical world that just mirrors the complexities of life. But I think it's a must read for anyone who's in search of a story that just warms the heart and nurtures the soul. So anyways, I hope you'll add The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett to your reading list. Okay, book three of classic novels I think you should add to your reading list this spring is Middlemarch by George Eliot. George Eliot, first and foremost, is the pen name of Mary Ann Evans, and Middlemarch was published in the 1870s. The novel weaves a web of the lives, ambitions, and destinies of multiple characters in the fictional town of Middlemarch in England. At the heart of the novel, it follows Dorothea Brooke, a young, idealistic woman who longs to contribute to the greater good, but finds herself trapped in a stifling marriage to a scholar known as Casaubon. Parallel to Dorothea's tale is that of Tertius Lydgate, a young doctor who struggles to balance his own ambitions with the expectations of society and the pressures of marriage. Now, alongside those primary characters, Eliot also tells a story of a bunch of other secondary characters. So essentially, this novel is a portrait of a town in England during the early 19th century. And through the various storylines in Middlemarch, you explore themes of marriage, morality, ambition, and the complexities of human nature. Now, Middlemarch is often considered as one of the greatest works of English literature, especially because of its depth in its characters and the town, the social commentary that Eliot does, and also for that time, Eliot's writing style was just incredibly different and unique, because she really got into the inner thoughts and motivations of her characters. So she really gave readers an experience where you're not just seeing these characters on paper, but you're really getting an understanding of their actions and their decisions and why they do what they do, which of course is not always straightforward, because sometimes it can be a bit complex. So it's fair to say in Middlemarch, you can expect richly drawn characters. You can explore themes of social change, marriage, idealism, self-interest, the struggle to find a meaningful life, you know, following one's heart versus adhering to societal norms. And of course, life in a provincial society. So let's get into the specifics of why I picked this book for spring. As I've said many times before on this episode, spring is a time of rebirth and new beginnings, and it mirrors the themes of self-discovery and seeking personal fulfillment, like I said earlier. I feel the characters undergo a transformation and growth, similar to how we see nature transforms and grows during the springtime. And the character studies and the themes and insights into human nature and societal change, I think, kind of go along with spring as well. Plus, spring for me has always been a time that provides opportunity for reflection. And again, going back to personal growth and renewal and change. And we see that happening with the characters as well. So I hope readers will give this book a try. I think it's better read in spring, but I think more than anything, it's just the themes, the moral of the story, getting to know people in a, you know, kind of like a, what's that term? Like a microcosm. Yes. It really is a microcosm of a community of that time. And even though this is a book that gives us a window into the past, I think we'll see just how relevant that still is in today's modern society. So, readers, I hope you'll add Middlemarch by George Eliot to your reading list. Alrighty, friends, those are the three classic novels that I hope you'll add to your reading list this spring. Book one is A Room with a View by E.M. Forster. Book two, The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. And book three, Middlemarch by George Eliot. If you're interested in living more seasonally this spring, if you're curious about seasonal living, if you want to add some things to your life this season that are in alignment with spring, then I'll include a link in the show notes so that you can listen to the episode, but also read the tips that I shared in my ideas for spring and how to live intentionally with the season. So you can tune into that episode. You can also read some of the information I have on the website. Of course, subscribe to the newsletter because that's where I tend to share everything. Each week's newsletter, I try to ensure that it revolves around a theme, and we had a spring newsletter issue. So yeah, subscribe to the newsletter so you're notified. What else is there? Oh, if you're interested in new books. So today I shared three classic books, but if you're interested in reading the best new books out this season, then I highly recommend you download the Spring Reading Guide. So that's springreadingguide.com to download your free copy of the Biblio Lifestyle Spring Reading Guide. Alrighty, friends, that's it. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for listening. Subscribe if you haven't already. Leave me a 5-star rating. Write me a review if you love the show. If you don't know what to write in your review, just write in your review your favorite episode, or tell me about the genres or topics you'd like me to cover more on the podcast. All right. Thank you so much, friends. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for listening. And I'm looking forward to talking with you again soon. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Reader's Couch podcast. Please subscribe to the show, share it with a friend, and take a few seconds to leave a rating and review. Until next time, stay lounging, stay reading, and whenever you're in doubt, go straight to your local bookstore or library. Thanks again for listening, and happy reading.